This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, welcome everybody to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is Wednesday, August the 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, year 2014, and our topic tonight, ADHD, stimulants, women in midlife, and hormones, featuring the, and I mean the AD diva, Linda Rogley, who's in our virtual studio. I'm very excited about the show tonight. Linda's been on multiple times. It has been a little too long since she was on our show, so we're going to make up for some lost time. Before we get into some details, just a few quick announcements. As I have been mentioning, Dr. Barkley has announced, asked me to make create awareness of the ADHDfund.com website, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise funds. So as I've said before, so often much research is funded by individuals that have an interest in what's going on, and there's lots of things that need some research on that doesn't really have some backing of somebody, and the goal of the site is to raise some funds so that they can find some ways to do some of that stuff, so which I think that's kind of exciting. The other thing that's front row central, if you will, is the upcoming annual CHAD conference, which is going to be November 13th through the 15th. That's going to be in Chicago. You can learn more about that by going to chadd.org. I'm going to be there. I'm actually going to be doing in a breakout session. You'll hear more about that in a couple weeks as the details unfold. And our guest tonight, Linda, will also be presenting. So that's worth the price of admission right there. So let's get into the show. I have to tell you, everybody, this show was actually inspired years ago, I think probably 3 years ago, when I had Linda on the first time. We were talking about women issues and ADHD, and she said, is it ADDAGE or menopause? And it was funny because when she said that, at first I didn't catch the AGE as in age, but it kind of sunk in kind of after that a little bit. And it was really kind of profound, and as I've been learning more and more about ADHD and women's issues, I've been fascinated. I've always been fascinated with women to begin with, but fascinated about some of those differences. And we've had Patricia Quinn on. I had a bunch of ahas with her and some stuff. So tonight we're having Linda back, and we'll kind of drill into this a little bit. But real quickly on Linda, she's an award-winning author and the founder of the AD Diva Network, which rocks the world of ADHD women 40 and better. She's a professional certified coach who works with highly motivated midlife and senior ADHD women, and there's a few men that she works with that are scattered in and around there. She focuses on these people who are ready to get out of their own ways and live their dreams. Linda's first book about ADHD women, Confessions of an AD Diva, Midlife in the Nonlinear Lane, won first prize for women's issues in the prestigious 2012 Next Generation Indie Book Award Contest. And I got to pause here for a second because in that book, she's got some great cartoons, some caricatures of the neurotransmitters, norepinephrine, dopamine, and serotonin, who I still pronounce as if they're the cartoon characters. We did an Attention Talk video with her and those cartoons that has been one of our most popular videos and one that I get emails on kind of quite often. So I just if you're interested, go to Attention Talk Video, Google Attention Talk Video and Linda Rogley, and it will come up. But it's really kind of cool. Linda is a very popular speaker at international conferences and is a big blogger and a guest columnist at Attitude magazine. Her passion and vision is to change attitudes towards ADHD worldwide, especially for those who are diagnosed with ADHD long after childhood. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show, but she facilitates a lot of retreats for women and a couple other things. And I'm going to let, before we go to the first break, we're going to talk about that a little bit, and she's going to kind of enlighten you because I think she can do a better job. But with all that said, you can find more about Linda at www.addiva.net. And with that, Linda, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Jeff. I'm so glad to be here.
We love having you on. You're a very knowledgeable individual, great researcher, and one of my favorite individuals to interview, because the cool thing about you is we start with a concept and who knows where we're going to go.
Well, I think they call that ADD. It's called wandering around. So wherever we go is exactly where we need to. And, you know, honestly, Jeff, regardless of who's tuned in or who will listen to this later, I honestly do believe in any part of my life, is ADD or not, although it's all ADD, that you really will get what you need out of this. We will go the places that your audience needs us to go tonight. So I got lots of information to impart, and if we don't get to all of it, we'll do it another time. So there you go.
Absolutely. I will ask you to try to speak into your phone a little bit more. We can hear you, but it's a little bit faint.
All right. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually get rid of my headset. How's that? I'm going to go to my phone. How about that? Is that better?
That's great. That's spectacular.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
So let me just kind of say, one of the things that you've enlightened me is, I'm just going to say estrogen, because there's, at a certain stage of life, that all kind of changes, and it gets kind of crazy. So can you talk to us about that? And I'm anxious. And just think of, you're talking to me. Give me a personal education, and we'll go from there.
Well, first of all, this entire presentation is how estrogen, and in particular estrogen, relates to ADHD, midlife, and then we'll talk a little bit about stimulants as well as how it impacts that. So to kind of get started, I'd like to kind of give you guys a little basis for what estrogen is, what it does in our bodies when it's functioning normally, if you will. So you may or may not know that there's not just one kind of estrogen. There are 15 different kinds of estrogen, and only three of them that we really care about, to tell you the truth, that we talk about much. One of them is estriol, which is E-S-T-R-I-O-L, and that's the one that is really present during pregnancy. It's generated by the placenta, and it's coursing through your body when you're pregnant. Now, it's a pretty weak form of estrogen, but it is there. And then we have estrone, which actually is kind of, it's actually produced in the ovaries, but also in fat cells. And we have lots of that at menopause and midlife, and that's why we get that little tummy, because we're not producing estrone other places, so our ovaries are kind of shrinking and going away. So all of a sudden, we need more fat cells to produce more estrogen. Kind of disgusting, eh? This is really disgusting. However, the one we talk about most is estradiol, and that's the one that you see when you have hormone replacement, and that's the one that's talked about most often. And it is responsible for lots of good stuff with your heart and your bones and your colon, but also, as what we're going to talk about tonight, is your brain. It really helps us kind of stay alert and focus and all those kind of good things. And one of the reasons it does that is because it is a really important part of that synaptic junction, that little synapse, which I call like a computer app gone to the bad side, a synapse. So it's a little space in between each one of those neurons. You know, we call it, it's like an electrical system, but it's not really an electrical system, because those little neuron ends don't touch each other. What happens is those neurotransmitters are jumping over there. So estrogen helps facilitate that. Sometimes it sits on the receptor site saying, come to me, baby, and sometimes it sits on the other side, so it's generating more neurotransmitters to send them more over. But it is a very, very important piece in women's brain and focus. And it's important all the time, but it's especially noticeable at particular points in our lives because it acts on the central nervous system. So imagine at puberty, when our estrogen levels are kind of going up and down as our bodies are getting ready to have menstrual periods and all that kind of stuff. And it takes a few years for that to kind of settle down, for most girls to kind of kind of get even with that kind of stuff and you get on a regular cycle. And not surprisingly, that is when a lot of girls are diagnosed with ADHD because that estrogen is kind of going crazy, up and down, up and down. Then we go to the other end of the spectrum when you're ending your periods at menopause, which is around 50, 45, 50, somewhere in that range. Then the estrogen gets crazy, goes up and down and up and down, and finally just fades off into the distance. In between there, we also have these little mini, you know, sine waves, if you can imagine that, going up and down and up and down, because if you are having regular periods, or even if you're having irregular periods, if you're having periods, period, if you excuse me, your hormones get really strong right as you're building toward that period, and then they fall off precipitously, and right before your period, all that estrogen just goes away. Completely. So right before your period, if you are having periods, your brain's gone again. So it's not surprising that women who are still fertile and still having regular periods have worse ADD symptoms right before the period starts. Not surprising that girls are diagnosed at puberty, and not surprising that we have a lot of women at menopause or perimenopause, which is the time before menopause, that realize, oh my gosh, this is not just menopause, this is ADD. So it kind of pulls the covers back on it. So I said a lot of stuff. Does any of that make sense? And you got questions?
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. So and what's fascinating is when estrogen goes away right before your period, what I think I'm hearing you say is the ADD symptoms would be presenting themselves a little worse than they normally are through the monthly cycle. And you know, one of the things that always fascinated to me, and I think a marketing issue with ADD, at least in our business, is people get diagnosed at a change of life or when something's happening. So a lot of times on the boys' side, they'll call for coaching between high school and college, college to job, job transition, marriages, those types of things, and or other events in life, because those are the times that the ADD seems to manifest in a more intense way. But on the girl side, it makes some sense that these changes in estrogen also kind of coincide with those difficulties in life. And I haven't talked to anybody who broke estrogen down this way, and that just before a period is if we kind of go, which is I think useful for women out there, because if you knew that, I think you can actually almost plan for it and manage it, or at least realize what's kind of going on when it's taking place. And probably not that easy.
No, but if knowledge is power, right?
Yep.
Even being diagnosed makes a difference, because you can look back and say, oh, that's what that meant. So if you know that you, and frankly, I never, this is, you know, maybe TMI kind of stuff, but I never had regular periods, so I never kind of knew when they were going to happen. Like some people, 28 days, maybe they know exactly when it's going to happen. They can plan their vacations around it, right? I never knew, but I knew that when I was really beginning to be really depressed, And it was Chicken Little, the sky's going to fall. Then I knew that things were, it was imminent, but I didn't know back in those days that's why I couldn't focus, and that's why my, you know, if I was taking tests on that day, I did not do as well as I did. And I'm a pretty good test taker, actually, which is unusual for ADHD folks. But keep in mind that if you know that that's coming, and you can put off a test until a couple of days later, if you can actually get that, you really can call that an accommodation. If you can do that, or let's not talk about school. Let's talk about work. If you have a big project that's coming up and you know it's going to be due right at when your period is going to start, maybe you back up and either do it a little before that, or you wait until a few days after it when estrogen starts to build back up again. So, you know, estrogen has a lot to do with memory, and there are lots and lots and lots of people out there doing research on it, and I want to tell you that it's like statistics. You can prove that estrogen has a lack of estrogen has a huge impact on memory, and you can prove that it has no impact on memory, because there are almost exactly 50-50 on the research out there about whether it does or doesn't affect cognitive. But my personal experience and my professional experience with my clients is that estrogen has a profound impact on cognitive ability, whether it's at menopause or whether it's at puberty. And I've coached both ends of the spectrum.
Wow. Linda, we need to run to a break. But before we do, I want to do a little transition. Can you just educate us a little bit on the retreats that you do and where to find that information on that? Because you have a big retreat that's kind of coming up, but a lot of people will listen to the show after that's over with. So can you just educate us a little bit on that space?
I would love to. I started doing retreats in 2005 because I knew that people, I appreciated going on retreat because it's a more intense immersion instead of going to a therapist or a coach once a week for however long. This is going to a therapist for, or in this, in my case, a coach for, you know, 7 days, 24 hours a day. And when you're in that kind of space, you just grow faster and you grow deeper. And that's what this is all about. It's about a waking up to who you are. And the truth is that when women are ready to come to this retreat, they know it. They really know that they're either stuck, they're ready to make changes, and that often happens at midlife. So my retreats are limited to women who are over 40, and I always get the question, I'm only 39 or 38, can I please come? Yes, you can still come. It still counts. But the point is, you can't come if you're 19. Okay, you have to wait 20 years. So yeah, it's a pretty cool retreat. It's called Sea Change, Turning the Tide of Your ADHD Life, and it's at the beach. It's an oceanfront house, luxury. We do, you know, massages. We do, you know, go out on the town, but we also work really hard. This is not a vacation at the beach. This is a, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to tackle and get through this because I sure had that. I was like, I'm done with this. I'm done playing around with myself and getting, you know, just kind of paddling. I want to move. I want to do something with my life. And what is it? So that's what this is all about.
And they can learn more about that by going to addiva.net, right?
You got it. And you can go to addivaretreats.com, and it's all part of the ADDiva website. So you can get there from addiva.net. Yes, indeed.
Excellent, excellent. Everybody, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're with the AD Diva, Linda Rogley, and we're here talking about basically, we're talking about estrogen in women and those different times of life. And before the break, Linda, you were talking about your retreats, and it's intense in the immersion side of it. And I just have to share this one small story, because a couple years ago, you were doing a pre-conference at the ADHD Coaches Organization conference, and I was in there, like, kind of came in the back and sat in on it. And Nancy Rady, who's a very well-known ADHD coach, kind of snuck in the back, and I think Victor was with you, and you were doing kind of a pre-workshop on working with couples, and you were putting everybody into an exercise, and I got coupled up with Nancy, who I had known of, but I'd never met her before. And before I know it, I'm sitting with her in a chair, knee to knee, looking in her eyes, and we're not allowed to use words and kind of communicate certain thoughts or feelings that we want the other person feels with our eyes. And I have to tell you, it was a profound experience because it was it was a little interesting to having to be that kind of intimate with somebody, but the same thing, it was powerful because when we got done, Nancy and I were buddies after that, and there's a lot of things that she's kind of turned me on to, and I just share that with everybody because I think you've got a lot of really good tricks up your sleeve, and when you get into those things in immersion and that you get people in the experience, I think it's intense, and I think it's powerful, and I think it's life-changing. So I just had to give you a little plug there. So if anybody's out there thinking of that, you got to go check out Linda Rogley's stuff. So there you have it, Linda. Does that work?
And well, thank you. Jeff, I paid him a lot of money for this.
She didn't pay me a thing. This is all, I mean, I'm serious. She's good.
But what I really want to say about that is that we do that exact exercise at the beach as well. And it's one of the ways that we move into that deeper part, because when you come to a retreat, you don't know anybody. And a lot of people are kind of nervous about that. It's like, well, I don't know anybody. What are these going to think about me? And, there's all that self-consciousness going on. But my retreats are really a place where you can take off your makeup, literally and figuratively, and be who you are. And that's what I hear over and over, is that people are so excited because they don't have to worry about interrupting. We just laugh at each other. We are in a place of complete acceptance, and so many people, it breaks my heart, so many people don't have that in the world because they feel like they have to hide their ADD. And, we're going to talk about that in a future video conference, so I won't go there. But hiding your ADHD is one of those things that's near and dear to my heart, and I really want to unmask people with that. And so I also want to unmask the mystery about hormones and ADHD, because I hear constantly from people, and I read a lot of the queries, does ADHD get worse with age? And that's why I coined the phrase, is it ADD or is it AGE, as in age?
Yep.
And the truth is that our brains get worse with age, because even if you don't have ADHD, your estrogen's going downhill, or your testosterone's going downhill. And don't forget that men have estrogen as well. This is not a gender-specific kind of thing. So the truth is that ADHD symptoms get worse as we age. But my husband doesn't have ADHD, and he forgets where his car keys are more often than he used to as well. So it simply exacerbates the ADHD piece of this. And, and in terms of memory, a lot of estrogen lives in the hippocampus, part of the brain. And the hippocampus is, and I'm not a doctor, but just from what I understand about it, it really has a lot to do with storing episodic memory. And so and it's just like it sounds. It's exactly the thing, like I remember my sixth birthday party, right? So when we get older, of course we can remember a sixth birthday party, but we might not be able to remember 6 minutes ago, right?
Yep.
And the reason for that is that our brains simply need to practice more to get things stored permanently. So we have to kind of rehearse them again and again. And that's what I tell a lot of my ADHD women who are struggling with this. I mean, we're going to talk about some – I don't want to just pour all the bad news out here. I want to give you some ideas about things that you can do to change this. But that's one of the things that I suggest that they do, is that they be conscious about memory so that, oh, yeah, this is happening. And then later, that happened. So if you embed it more frequently, it'll stay with you longer. That makes logical sense, but sometimes we just don't do that. The other thing that I want to mention is that, and we kind of began to touch on it before the break, and that is that ADHD medications are also affected, their effectiveness are affected with an A by estrogen swings up and down. So women who are very steady with their dose of Adderall or whatever medication they may be taking, it doesn't have to be a stimulant, but whatever medication they're taking, may find that it is not as effective when their estrogen drops, which could be, at the end of their cycle, or it could be when they're starting to have these swings at puberty or at menopause. So if you take medication, it's something to talk to your doctor about and say maybe you need another little extra dose during that period of time.
Like a little fast-acting booster on those days? Okay.
Or maybe you need a different kind of medication to boost the other one, not just more, but maybe it's a little supplement of something else that will fill in the gaps. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been fascinated with this for years because I've always thought that the women's cycle had to impact this because it's the chemistry of the brain, and what you're describing makes all the sense in the world to me. And for the women that I've coached, now that you're doing this, I'm getting like, I got to call so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Like, it really makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. A lot of women are really surprised to hear this. And to me, it's such old news, but it's not old news to everybody. So it may be brand new to a lot of the people who are listening today, but it might be the reason they tuned in, because what is that relationship between hormones and ADHD and aging and medication and all that kind of good stuff? So I want to jump to, if it's okay, I'm going to take a little leap because I know we don't have a lot of time. I want to take a leap to hormone replacement therapy, and specifically estrogen replacement therapy, which is more what we're talking about here. Everybody goes, oh my gosh, I got to run for the hills. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. It's going to give me breast cancer. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. All the fear mongering that was created by the Women's Health Initiative some 10, 12 years ago. And the study, while in some respects was a good study, in other respects was a very poorly created and executed study, in that it started women on HRT, or ERT in this case, way after they were done with menopause. So they were already in their mid-60s and late 60s before they started this. And therefore, they already had some heart problems, because lack of estrogen can cause all kinds of problems. It can cause, you know, problems with your cardiac muscles. It can cause problems with cholesterol. I mean, it affects a whole lot of things. These women had already had the start of those problems. So what my psychiatrist/physician, you know, she was a psychiatrist and an OBGYN, which is an amazing combination.
Uh-huh.
It took her a year to convince me that this study was really flawed in some respects, and I finally decided to go on hormone replacement, but I did not go on the same kind of medication. It was not the little pill that has both the progesterone and the estrogen in it. And remember that in the United States, we are talking about estradiol. The estradiol is the one that's for bones, heart, and all that kind of stuff. We are not – in Europe, they give people estriol because they think that's more protective. It doesn't cause breast cancer. So, but in the United States, we pretty much – hormone replacement for estrogen is estradiol. I slapped that patch on because I did not want to take – this is just me. Again, this is entirely personal.
Mm-hmm.
I do not
mm-hmm.
want you to hear this as a prescription. You need to talk to your doctor about all of your medical issues and all of your other issues before you even begin to go here. But I did not want to take a pill that was going to metabolize through my liver. I had read enough research that I thought that could have an impact on whether there was some, you know, metastasis and cancer-causing stuff and all that kind of stuff. So I used a patch. I still do. And when I put that patch on, within 3 days, it felt like my brain had come back. And that doesn't happen for everyone. But I have talked to several people who have had kind of the same experience. Now, what the recommendation is, if you are going to do HRT or, you know, estrogen replacement, ERT, is that you start it within 1 year of menopause. Within 1 year. Either you start a little ahead of menopause, or when you finish your last period, how can you ever tell when it's your last period? But, you know, you go a few months. If you start it early, like around age 50, which is kind of a typical age, and the longevity of that treatment, if you will, it certainly helps with hot flashes and all that kind of stuff. It certainly helps with that, but it also helps with memory. What I keep hearing is 8 years is kind of a max, and then after that, the risk of breast cancer goes up. The risk of, if it's unopposed estrogen, which if you don't know what that is, that means you're just using the estrogen patch or you're just taking estradiol in whatever form, the tablet or whatever, and you are not taking progesterone, which is what happens in birth control pills. You get both of those things. If you are not taking progesterone and you still have a uterus, let's be very graphic here, there is a higher risk of endometrial cancer. So
okay.
I do take some progesterone with that patch. I take it orally, and I've been convinced that synthetic is just the same as bioidentical, and not everyone believes that. So I guarantee you that anyone who listens to this is going to have a very strong opinion. It's like religion, and it's like politics. Every woman has a pretty strong opinion about, oh, I'm not going to touch that, or I might do that, or I should do bioidentical only, and I should get the little things implanted under my skin, or I should do soy isoflavones, or I should take black cohosh. That will. So everybody has an answer for this, and you know what, Jeff? It's almost like ADD. Everybody has an opinion about how you should treat it, and yet the only way to treat it is what works for you.
Hallelujah.
And in this case, it is what works for you and is approved by your doctor, because I guarantee your doctor will also have very strong opinions about what you should do. Some of them are completely in opposition to any kind of hormone replacement. Some of them are, absolutely, this is what we need to do, just like mine convinced me. So hormone replacement is certainly the quickest way to remedy some of those memory issues and that kind of stuff, but not without risk. So what are some other things that you can do? You can try some natural supplements. Absolutely try natural supplements, but don't forget that those have risks too. The purity is not the same. They're not manufactured, sometimes not in the United States. So you have to be a little careful about anything that you take. What also helps? The same thing that helps ADHD regularly. Meditation helps. A good diet helps. And, of course, my favorite and Jeff's favorite, exercise. Exercise not only helps your brain function better, but it doesn't give you more estrogen, although there's even some evidence that it actually boosts estrogen. Like I say, you can prove anything with research, and you can prove anything with statistics. But adjusting your ADHD medications appropriately, so it's not just at your period, you may need to go back to your psychiatrist or whoever's prescribing and say, look, now I'm at menopause and my meds are not working as well. What do we need to do? So I kind of ran through that quickly, but is there anything that I wasn't clear about? Is there anything that you want to talk about a little bit more?
Thank you for that opportunity. There's a few points that I want to – number one is if you're listening to this show and it's speaking to you, you need to go back and listen to it a couple times. The second thing is Linda is – there's – I always like this saying, there's lies, there's politics, and then there's statistics. Because you can manipulate anything in statistics to say what you want it to be. And Linda made very clear that she was sharing her personal experience. And, Linda, you're exactly right. Everybody has very strong opinions about this. But you're also right. When you've seen one person with ADHD, you've seen one person with ADHD, and you throw things like this on top of it, and it really, this is as individual can be. And for me, I'm a big proponent of that top 10 list usually doesn't work for most people because not everybody is Joe Normal. And the key here is to get the education, to hear what Linda's saying, to get that stuff and pull it together and take a look at yourself. I'm digress for a second. I get so upset when people are calling me or I'm coaching them and they have very strong opinions about medication. And they're uneducated. I don't care what their position is as long as they're educated about it. And when I say that, it's like they get scared about the long-term effects of medication. And my counter to that, what's the long-term effects of sit down and shut up, stop doing that? Would you quit? Over and over and over for decades. And I'm not saying it's good, better, and different. I just want them to see the other side. And I think Linda's doing a really good job of saying, hey, listen, these are the things that are out there, and actually giving you a shortcut to say these are the types of things you should kind of look at in order to kind of pull this stuff together. So, I know that I'm going to go back and listen to the show a couple times. And if you're listening to it and speaks to it, I think that go back and listen to this particular segment because, Linda, you covered an enormous amount of material there. So.
I did. that's why I was talking fast.
I need to run to another commercial break. For our listeners out there, again, it's ADDIVA, ADDIVA.net, not .com, .net. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Linda Rogley and I'm having epiphanies left and right, as I always do whenever I'm interviewing Linda. And Linda, I have to tell you, I was thinking through the break about when we come back, what to focus on. And all I could do is sit there and say, I got to share like what, kind of what I learned, and that is this, is, and maybe some people are going to hit me out there, but I got to, as I've got an education from you, Dr. Quinn, Zoe Kessler, and some other things on women's issues, I got to believe ADHD is so much more difficult for females because of these things that are related to females that, you know, you're kind of walking along and all of a sudden it all changes and it all gets kind of disruptive, maybe from a change in estrogen levels, and it's got to be absolutely maddening, and it seems to me it's got to be more difficult to manage. And I know you're female and you might be a little bit of bias, but your thoughts on that? I mean, does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I don't want to belittle the struggle that men and boys have with ADHD, because they really do have those issues. They just don't have the swings, but sometimes boys are diagnosed earlier, women and girls are diagnosed a little later because of behavior. Remember, ADHD is generally a behaviorally diagnosed condition, as is depression, as is everything else, right? So it's until you understand it, which is why I'm trying to drive this point home again and again. If any women or some of the men who are listening out there have daughters who have been diagnosed with ADHD, just knowing this will help ease those symptoms, because they'll expect you to know, oh, this is just normal. It's just ADD. It's not going to kill you. Sometimes it feels like, oh, my gosh, here I go again. But it is more it's more unpredictable until you know what you're dealing with. So now that you do know what you're dealing with, you can then start to pay, using one of Jeff's favorite words, you can start to pay attention to what's going on with your body. And I think a lot of us, certainly I am really terrible at paying attention to what's going on with my body. I just kind of bumble around and run into walls and all kinds of stuff because my brain's going a different direction. I got bruises all over and all that kind of stuff. So to pay attention to what's really going on monthly, you may even need to write it down. You may even need to say, I feel awful today, and I just can't figure anything out. And then you look back and you realize, oh, that was the day before my period. So tracking it, is, I think, works. I think it helps a lot. And that in itself is difficult for gals to do. But I think men have equal problems with getting their medications figured out and getting their coping strategies working and all that kind of good stuff. So I don't want to say that we're worse than you and vice versa. I just want to say that ADD is a bear to take care of and deal with at a lot of levels. But yet the point is that knowledge is power, is what I started with. Knowledge is power. The more you understand, the more you can integrate that knowledge, the more you can actually be proactive and actually live the life, back to my retreats, the life you've always deserved to live. You don't have to settle. You don't have to say, I should have, if I just could have. You deserve to live it. So find a coach. Go to your doctor. Find out about estrogen replacement. Understand what's going on and live your life. We need you out there. We need you.
Linda, I almost feel like I should end it on that note, but there's a few other things I kind of want to weave in here a little bit. One is, when you took hormones, you said you got your brain back in 3 days.
I did. It was that fast.
Can you just, from your perspective, can you share that experience with the experience of taking, you know, ADHD medications? Was it similar, different?
No, it was not. Because I have tried lots of different ADHD medications, and honestly, I don't take any of them right now. I do take Wellbutrin, which is a second-line ADHD medication, but I've just been taking it for years. It's almost like water for me, because my brain just needs what it provides. And it's a norepinephrine, as in norepinephrine. It's a norepinephrine support and a dopamine support, which is what I need. But when I was taking stimulants, I would take that stimulant. Adderall was my drug of choice. And I would take it, and I would immediately have focus within, you know, what, 30 minutes. And I would have that focus, and I took short acting, and I would start falling off. Kind of like drinking caffeine, right? You drink that cup of coffee or iced tea, and you're, oh, my God, I'm so focused, and then it starts falling off. With estrogen, it's slower, but for me, it was about memory. Before the estrogen, I have to tell you the story that in fact, this is in my book, but it's so telling for me, is that I walked into a big department store, and I pulled out my credit card or something to buy a blouse or something like that, and she says, what's your zip code? And I'm like, I had to look at my driver's license to find out what my zip code was. And I said, I'm really sorry, I can't remember anything anymore. And the woman who was helping me was about 10 years older, and she pats my hand and she said, don't worry, honey, your brain will come back. It'll get better. And that's the kind of I was afraid to talk to people. I was afraid I couldn't rub three or four words together and make a complete sentence. So I stopped making sales calls. I started sequestering myself. The dogs didn't mind if I forgot their name, but my kids kind of minded, right? And I, with estrogen, it felt like this gradual coming back to myself, not instant focus like I was getting with the Adderall. I'm not like, ta-da, right up there. This was, oh, my God, I'm beginning to feel like myself again. I'm beginning to feel like Linda again. Now, is my memory the same as it was before all this happened? Nope. Never will be. But that's because I'm over 60. Oh, God, did I really say that?
No. Linda, let's be clear. Just a month ago, I celebrated my 30th anniversary of my 21st birthday, okay? You got, it's all about how you pay attention to it.
I love it.
The 30th anniversary of my 21st, because I still think I'm 21, just so everybody knows out there. And every once in a while, you go to a conference and you're at the bar late at night, you'll actually witness how you still think I'm 21. But
I got it. You're only as young as you feel, right? And my brain is still doing fine. Yeah, exactly. Except for the memory.
Touche. And I know it is funny because my memory is starting to slide. And you know, when I'm calling the kid the cat's name and stuff like that, it's what it is.
We have to laugh.
As we pull this thing together, Linda. And everybody out there, I'm going to thank Linda coming on. She is one of my favorite guests. She's a wealth of knowledge. You know, we've talked about so much, and I love the specificity of the estrogen. We talked about its kind of cycle, its kind of impact. There's certain times of life it's more that women need to be witness to it. And we talked about the whole hormone conversation. It is as individual as you are. I actually did a blog recently with Dr. Parker, and I used statistics to kind of show how the top 10 list is like one standard deviation from the mean. And for everybody who doesn't like statistics, it's no big deal. But those who dig it is that there's, based on the laws of statistics, if you have some observations and you do a normal distribution, 68% of all observations fall within one standard deviation mean, which to me is the top 10 list. But there's 32% of great solutions that are outside of that. And I always like to make sure those with ADHD lose sight is that there's a lot of really, really cool things and really good solutions that are available that are not mainstream, that you're not necessarily going to read about. And when Linda was kind of talking about her experience and these opinions and stuff, I really encourage you to get the education. Get the education and then listen to your body and yourself and then marry the two. And Linda, I really kind of like some of your stories of how you had the education and you were listening to the mental health providers, but you kind of negotiated what would really make a lot of sense for you. Can you just kind of comment on that just from your experience and everybody out there not just like latching onto something?
Well, I think, as I say, it took my psychiatrist/GYN a year to convince me that the Women's Health Initiative, which was all over the news, I mean, the media was just running wild with it, and it was, oh, my God, it was the worst thing that could ever happen. All these people were going off of hormone replacement, blah, blah, blah. And it took a year for her to convince me that, and to show me statistics. I mean, I'm kind of a fact person. I want to know, especially if it's my body that's involved, right? I want to know. I'm not too crazy about getting cancer, for Pete's sake. But she finally looked at me one day and she said, Linda, this is a quality of life issue. You are having 60 to 70 hot flashes a day. You can't remember the name of your children. You aren't making sales calls. You are sequestering yourself. This is so how do you want to live? And I finally realized, okay, I'm going to give it a try because you know what? I can always stop. This is not like I'm going to jump off of a building and I can't change my mind in mid. I can't change my mind in mid jump there. But this, I can try. And when I tried it, I realized I want to feel like me. And I researched the heck out of it. There's a wonderful woman from a doctor from Harvard who wrote a lay book about hormones and hormone replacement and all that kind of stuff. And I devoured it. In fact, I've been trying to get her on one of my AD Diva calls, as a matter of fact. But she has young children, and her priorities are her children. She doesn't do things at night. So I really love the fact that she's maintaining her priorities, just as like I decided what was right for me and what all of our listeners, your listeners, will decide what's right for them. So some people may be saying, I wouldn't even dream of doing hormone replacement because that's bad for this reason. It is, I tell people, I'm a walking, talking experiment. And when I find out that I did the wrong thing, it'll be too late. But for me, it has been the right thing. I don't have any breast cancer history in my family. In fact, I don't have any history of cancer in my family. That doesn't mean I'm not going to get breast cancer. It doesn't mean anything like that. But I could get it from drinking tainted milk when I was in college. I mean, there was some big milk scare when I was in college. So we are all inundated with all kinds of things. And let's go back to what my psychiatrist, OBGYN, said. This is a quality of life issue. If my ADD and my hot flashes and my life was better taking this course of action, then I made peace with that. And I think each one of us has to make peace with how they handle their ADHD issues, whether it's exercise or, I mean, people have strong opinions about whether they should take medication, ADD medication.
Yep.
It's the same kind of conundrum. You just decide. You have to say, this is okay for me, and live with that. And then don't second guess it or change it, because you can always change it. So there you go.
There you have it.
How about that,
Linda,
for non-advice?
Linda,
I hate advice.
Just thoughts. Thought probes, thought leaders, just to kind of get everybody thinking. Linda, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's a delight. I always learn something when you're here. I know all of our listeners are going to learn some stuff. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for coming on the show. And everybody out there, it's addiva.net. Go check it out and go learn about her retreats. Linda, we got to figure out another topic to have you back on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. See you guys.
No problem. Everybody, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.